Check, 1, 2, 3. Check, check.
Check, check, check. 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. Check, check. One, two.
You're perfect.
1, 2, 1.
You're perfect. 3, 2, 1. Go, buddy.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America. All the ships at sea, planes in the air, and vehicles on the ground. This is, in fact, the Mustard Cafe. Hosted by the original dusty-footed philosopher, Mr. John Case. The show on the internet that guarantees once you've consumed this, it's nothing but up from here.
That's right. Thank you, FDR. I appreciate that. You know, a little intro, pal. Good morning, John.
Welcome back, man.
Yeah, man. We had a great vacation. Actually, I mean, even though it rained a couple of the days.
I don't recognize the word. It doesn't exist in my vocabulary.
Okay.
So there's a half daycation.
I know.
My wife and I. That's about it. Maybe a drive, possibly.
Eight hours in bed at night, kind of like.
Gonna go down. Look at the lean-to. Oh, look at that! It is a lean-to. Let's go home now.
Well, we ended up having a cheap but pleasurable picnic. Right at the public park alongside the Keechee Gorge, which is this beautiful gorge a little bit east of Woodstock, Vermont. And, you know, the whole Carol sisters, man, they came up. And, you know, some relatives I don't like at all we had to eat with. You know, things like that, right? You know? I know. I can't even have a picnic without, you know, that dude coming in. Governor Justice, it's so glad, nice of you to join us this morning.
Puerto Rico. Puerto. I think the softest towels ever. Softest. And everyone was having fun.
You know, I'm going to be the next speaker at the National Homophobic Convention.
Ooh.
Yes, I have some things to say about you do not need to fear, you know, queer.
Mm, right.
The queer inside you does not need to come out. You may say something about it. You know,
like our vice president, who's afraid of who he really is.
I know.
He thinks the lady does protest too much.
He does. That's true, isn't it? He doesn't want to be alone with a woman.
I can't be alone with another one.
Oh God. It's like being naked, you know, right?
Yeah, that's horrific.
Oh man. We should put around some naked pictures of Vice President Pence. Just maybe that would help him loosen up a little bit.
There's already that picture of him with a bunch of guys. It's really homoerotic kind of thing that's out there that he, you know, when he was in college, I guess.
Oh, so. He had a little kind of a. What they used to call we can't use the. I don't think masturbation circles are appropriate.
I think in the background there was a song like pump up the jam, pump it up, pump it up.
Oh, good Lord! You mean it was actually a jerk off song kind of thing? You know.
I don't know. You said it.
I mean that's where we're headed with this, right? It's possible that you know, but okay.
No. Hold on now, Mr. K.
Wait a minute, the governor's in the room. It's a pretty big room.
I gotta get up this one step. Hold on.
Oh no, not again.
Yeah, oh there it is. Okay. Oh wait. I gotta put that other foot down.
You left your ass on the previous stair, Governor.
That gout is really getting me this morning.
Yeah, but what good does it do to get both legs up if your ass can't move? You know, what's
I done did it.
Yeah. Governor, can I ask you a question about the state of West Virginia? Or are you just consumed with
don't go nothing about the state of West Virginia and these God-fearing people who put me in this responsibility to make America great again.
Well, I see that West Virginia is going to grow. I saw an interesting statistic yesterday, Governor. Perhaps you'd like to comment on it. It says that the population of the United States is growing at 1%.
The best
that West Virginia can come up with is a negative 2%.
Fake news and people getting
and yet, a report is that saying
them cold jobs is all coming back. All them cold jobs.
Oh, God.
It's all coming.
Good. That's good. Are you going to work them? Oh, Jesus. You're dying of... Oh, what did you swallow, Governor? Laura.
I had a hard time with the chicken sausage.
Oh, God. I think I'm starting to get, the call line is lighting up here about, I think it may be a feeling the doctors are calling in to see whether you need help or not, Governor.
Yeah, you need no help because I done did it.
Can we lay you out? How about taking a rest on the couch? Or
Hold on a second. Hold on.
I mean, you sound just tuckered out completely. What in the world is that? Oh, God. You fell asleep on the toilet? Again?
I done did it.
Governor, we're going to have to say goodbye because it's just. This is a personal invasion of privacy that we end up with. You know, the governor can't. Is he even dressed?
I don't know. Yeah, there's no real there, man. There's just a lot of hodgepodge and dodge and a lot of.
He's called to back in a special session to get rid of all the state rules for hiring.
Right.
I wonder which rules he's going to get rid of.
Well, any and all. Shrink it so you can drown it in the bathtub. Shrink it, man. That's the shrink it.
I guess.
Shrink it all, man. Shrink it all. Shrink it all. Except for, of course, himself.
And especially.
I think I do believe maybe from the grave Howard Cosell may have a comment on this.
Howard, really? I mean,
I think it's unforgivable that he cannot learn to discipline himself.
You could be speaking about more than one character there.
I don't know. Yeah, that kind of addresses the entire thing.
Hey.
I don't know if you watched the combination piece by the Washington Post and 60 Minutes about Big Pharma and the drug companies.
I read about it. I was reading about it. I didn't see it, but I hear it was pretty devastating.
Well, it was very well presented, and it's the exact same thing. If you look at it, it's the big three. It's Big Pharma with their lobbyists that buy, government officials, bring them in and make them become lobbyists. And then it's the same thing as the extraction industry, which is the same thing as Wall Street. It's the same pattern. It's the same business model.
Buy yourself.
The exact same one.
Sure. Senators of Versailles.
Buy and steer legislation until everyone is dead. Everyone is fucking dead.
I know.
Are dying at record numbers. The rate of death associated with opioids is astronomical.
Yeah.
And in fact, not even being reported very accurately.
Oh, I know. I hear the doctors are in revolt about it, actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because a lot of stuff's been going out as other stuff. And they said, no, it's addiction. It was an interesting remark I guess it's my cousin or Carol's cousin. He's a cardiologist, right after Tom Petty died, he made the remark. It says, we have a standard saying about valve replacements. In the hospital, he works in connection with one of the big Boston hospitals. I can't remember which one.
Okay.
And I said, "So what's that?" He says, "Well, if you're an heroin addict, okay, you're gonna there's a valve replacement. The valves in your heart, and a couple of other things, also gum up faster than other people. And so the question is, how many valve replacements are you going to get? Because there's, you know, only a certain amount. There's a long line of people, right, that want, you know, because it's popular and does save lives. But now they have a rule that says for the heroin addicts that come in, it says, okay, you get one. And that's rationing. They ration it. But when you hear heart attacks, you know, he says a lot of times you're looking at, you know, various kinds of opioid addiction side effects, you know, also, you know. So you're right. I mean, there's no the count can't even be fully made.
No, it's not completely accurate. And, you know, I get, as I do with just about everything, there's the head investigator through the DEA, who was incredibly successful in penalizing these companies and making them pay. They, you know, you have a representative from Pennsylvania, and Marsha Blackburn, by the way, from the South, who, you know, whose, you know, coffers are filled with pharmaceutical dollars, who have steered legislation which Obama signed as a law.
Yeah.
That, you know, there's not a whole lot he could have done about it, because the entire, I think they had a
they had it locked down.
Majority, so they had it locked down. So, you know, you're looking at basically drug dealers with a much better education.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whether a drug dealer has a lab coat or a flannel shirt, it's still a drug dealer.
Yeah, I mean, the question is, has the corruption proceeded to the point where, you know, the medical efficacy of any of this stuff, you know, is lost in the sand somewhere because it just sells, because it's addictive, right? You know, so.
Yes.
You know.
Yes. There's no question about it. Yes.
Well, you know, this is, you know, a good example of the libertarian principle of, you know, that from the market can solve everything.
Markets, biggest, hugest, bestest disasters ever.
What have you
done? Here's the thing too. I wanted to say that I feel, you know, I want to make sure we mention that our, because I, you know, have some friends and you have some friends out west, that we're very concerned about the devastating fires, and we're praying for all the first responders and all the families and friends that we have out there to try to stay safe. There's some speculation, it was the fastest moving firestorm they had ever seen.
Yeah,
because of the misdirection of the winds.
Well,
and the fact that the wind bursts were at 65 to 70 miles.
Yeah, and plus zero humidity.
Yeah, and no humidity. It was just dry and just, you know.
Oh yeah, and now we have the first time anyone's ever seen a hurricane head to Ireland. Speaking of climate events and related events, you know.
Oh, such thing. You liberals. You Bolsheviks.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as. Thank God. Wow. Wow, there is a level of stupid that is just undeniable. Oh, by the way, you know, most of our cabinet secretaries are busy flying on very expensive flights all over the place. You know, when they're not heading to their honeymoon and you know, driving, flying somewhere to have lunch with their kids. Of course, he's gone, so Price is gone. But you know, the funny thing is Munchkin did the exact same thing as Price.
Everywhere DeVos goes,
except more of it. Except more of it.
I'm sure. Oh, they're all, you know, it's a bunch of criminals.
That's what they are.
Yeah.
That's what they are.
I hired some criminals.
You know, in answer to your question, Mrs. DeVos, yes. Yes. A moron would hire someone like you. Yes.
Yeah.
In case you were wondering how I felt about it, yes. Not that you give a shit, not that you care.
No, she doesn't.
Because I'm just a lowly scrub who barely, you know, scrapes enough pennies together to get by. Not that you or your brother will ever give a shit about my opinion, but you're an idiot, ma'am. You're a moron. You're a goddamn moron. Resign.
They won't. The morons are running. It's like if you'd have told Joseph Goebbels to resign, you know, he wouldn't have. They're on a roll, man.
Goebbels, Cargill.
No, the question I have in my mind, now one, I had a hopeful thing that happened yesterday. I noticed that Chris Christie's numbers, poll numbers, have now sunk to 15 or 14% in his state.
And yes, they have. You know, and actually, John, actually, I wanted to bring that point up. In the Midwest, the precipitous drop, 45's numbers have dropped precipitously by 13%. Again.
Right.
They are falling. His popularity is falling like a thunderous rock. He's not anything or anywhere near what the assumption was that these people thought they believed in.
By the way,
one of the most contentious issues contained within this entire thing is his tweets. Is the fact that it's just annoying, even his base.
Well, you would think, you know, but I, on the other hand, I don't think his numbers are quite that low yet, but they're headed there, and that's good, because I assume that when they get to a certain point, even the Republicans will figure they can get elected without him, okay? Or that,
well, and the other they've thing, got John, to separate. Is that, well, the other thing is that their numbers aren't much better. I mean, Mitch McConnell's numbers in Kentucky are barely above 28%.
Yeah, so. I hope that who's running against him in any way? Do we know?
I don't know. They don't seem to be a well-oiled machine, and you know, there's going to continue to be a stirring the soup by the media of, you know, well, what's the Democrats' message? They're not unified. They have their own civil war. Blah, 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 blah,
well, they're unified about Trump.
You know. Well, you know what? There's you know, baby steps. You know, do I think that the Hillary and Bernie factions need to get together? Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Are they? Probably not.
Well,
there are already, you know, someone endorsed a primary candidate against what's her name? Dianne Feinstein. She's going to be primaried in California.
From the left, you mean?
Yes. Yes.
Well, yeah, okay. I mean, Dianne Feinstein's is, for California, is probably, you know, she might be, I mean, on foreign policy, she's very hawkish, you know, but I don't know. I think that I would oppose anything that would, you know, that would run the risk of cutting the Democrats' majority any more than it already has been. I mean, if someone wants to challenge in primary and they look like a winner, maybe, okay, but I loser challenges and, you know, posturing for that ends up getting us, you know, crucified again. Just I don't see the point of that one myself. But
making the perfect the enemy of the good.
Well, yeah, I mean, and especially when the price of defeat is very serious, you know.
Well, the question that had been raised by someone, an article written, I read it somewhere and reposted it, and I can't remember. My wife had originally posted it about, you know, the fact that the Democrats probably need to make a hard left turn.
And there was a Miami article about that, yeah.
Miami Herald,
yeah.
I don't know so much as a hard left turn, but I do know that the message is very clear.
I think you got to do two things that are not easy to do, and that I don't know that we've figured out how to do yet. I mean, one thing is that you're not going to fix the really desperate and despair kind of things that are going on and that are driving this tendency to go for authoritarian or fascist-like people, right?
Well, I'll go ahead.
You're not going to fix that. Let me finish. You're not going to fix that, you know, if you don't fix austerity to some extent, or at least give people the sense that you're turning it around, really, not just BSing, because it's driving people crazy that they can't make ends meet. Okay, it's driving you crazy. Okay, it's driving millions of people crazy. And
there is no doubt it is the continuous added pressure each and every day that we both wake up with every day. How do we navigate
this? Right. You know, and you know, that's become, I cannot believe that that's not the situation with the majority of American families. Okay, I'm serious about that. And so we gotta. On the other hand, you know, I mean, you're not gonna defeat Trump. You're not gonna defeat Trump. You know, or the Republicans. You know, and pillory the liberal. Elites and billionaires and the people that run the magazine, like people that can, even the Harvey Weinsteins, I know they're out, you know, I mean, there's people that donated, hold on, there's people that donated millions and millions of dollars, okay, to the Democrats to help them, you know, do something. And if you don't have some money, and you don't have some of those people involved, okay, it's true that you're not going to win either, okay? So I think that coming together, finding the way, finding candidates that can draw on the anti-austerity message of the Sanders campaign and to, you know, try to, you know, embrace, you know, liberal values, okay, you know, to, you know, try to find the common ground there. That a strong voice, you know, that could do that is what could turn the thing around. I mean, I think, you know, whether Hillary Clinton herself or her ex-staff people or the Clinton regime, so to speak, is that they'll have to be brought along by somebody new. I mean, you know, and I include their friends on Wall Street with that. So anyway, I think it's I don't think we should say it's impossible. I think we're all looking for the voice that could or voices that can you know, put together a new coalition, right? That
All right, well, let me
go ahead. I'm done. Thanks for listening.
Okay. Let me just say
this is the Moose Turd Cafe, by the way, and you know you're
the Moose Turd Cafe,
and we're coming up on
the top of the hour in about 10 minutes,
and you're eating a bullet stew this morning. All right, go ahead, buddy.
Yummy. It is October 16th. 10 minutes. It'll be 7 a.m. Here on a Monday. I would say also with regards to what the Democrats did in response to the years of this pig, subhumanoid, power monger, misogynistic, rapist piece of garbage. They did point this out, agreed, took all the money he had given and donated it to causes that support women.
Right.
So.
Which is.
You know, right. Let's look at the other side.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You have. They're not ever giving money back. I don't give a shit where it came from. They're not giving any money back, and they're justifying it. They changed. They found God. They've changed. They're better men for it. No, they're all pigs. Still.
Jim Baker. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Come on. Come on. You know, I mean, numero uno, orange pig, at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
Yeah, I know.
You know, the horrific nature of this piece of garbage. You know, come on. Come at me with something real.
You act like you're complaining about your breakfast at the cafe here, buddy.
It's delicious.
You could
consult a chef about how to... Right, yeah.
See, Dr. Lecter, thank you. I mean, you need to explain to Mike, you know, that he has to learn to enjoy these meals, okay, that are being served up every day.
Sit back and relax. I know how to add fracking fluid to a meal. Bring it to a full boil. Of course, you'll have to wait until the flames diminish.
You can't help. You got to eat it before it's served, don't you, doctor?
Wow. He always, in a creepy way, the guy calms me down a little, and I realize there's much greater horrors in the world.
Yeah, that's true. Just around the corner,
like,
pal.
Like what when Jon Stewart reappeared on Colbert last week to come out, and they wanted Stewart had to take the positive on 45. So Stewart came out and said, Donald Trump is not a cannibal.
As far as we know. Anyway, yeah.
That was the only positive thing. You know, everything from the mayor of San Juan wading through water hip deep, bringing medication and food with a group to her people, and trying to account for some level of organization and taking some responsibility while the orange fart cloud attacks her.
Yeah. Of course.
She wasn't at any of the meetings. She couldn't be at the meetings. She was in water, you freaking moron.
I don't think he... I think she may have stayed away from that meeting with him, you know. I mean...
No, she did. She did shake his hand.
Oh, she did? Oh,
she walked right up to him and shook his hand.
Oh, okay.
And then she left.
Yeah, right.
Because she had work to do.
Yeah, right.
There's work to do. Saving, you know, and the count of deaths, that's the other thing that you and I talked about a long time ago, is these idiots being in charge of a lot of these, the cabinet secretaries fudging the numbers, and that's what they're doing now.
Oh, they're going to lie about everything, all the way down.
You know, they're talking about their first warning, hey, don't go to the wells from the Superfund site. Okay, well, bring us some goddamn clean water then, asshat.
No. You're once again, you're complaining about your breakfast. That's okay. You're getting ready. I mean, this is good for you. This is good for you, Mike, because I think now the rest of the day will be it's possible for you to focus on something other than this disaster.
I may get called into the I started my volunteer work last week.
Well, you know, I think, and I also think it's good that you did that. I mean, you know, come on. We all have to, you know,
there's some really, really good folks there working really hard to take care of these animals. And it's a little bit heartbreaking, but at the same time, it's good for your soul.
Probably not so much, probably not too many, you know, not too many funds to help out either. I imagine they're strapped
really,
these
not
days.
Not really, which reminds me, I think it's at the racetrack on October 28th, there is a fundraiser auction to raise money for the Halloween auction, to raise money for the Animal Welfare Society.
Okay, cool. Well, I'm
not absolutely certain on this because I haven't been given, you know, the thumbs up or thumbs down by anyone whoever's organizing that. I've offered to help out if they need a...
No, they should do that.
Somebody fun to you know, get up and run the auction to try to talk to the folks about, you know, because no matter what you are, Democrat, Republican, Independent, you know, Christian, Muslim, gay, straight, whatever you are, whatever your ethnicity is, we all have one thing in common. Somewhere, we're going to have dog or cat fur on our clothing. There's going to be some level of fur somewhere in your home. You may have some special stuff that you have way in the back of the closet that you can't, that the dog or cat can't get to.
Yeah,
but even that's going to mix with your other clothes.
Oh, it's...
So I wear that fur proudly, is what I'm saying, because it's not anything that's been extracted in an evil way. It's just stuff that is.
So there's fur clothes from kitties that have or some animals that have that are not the result of, you know, killing them and stuff like that.
Yeah, nothing mean or evil. Just trying to groom your.
You know, yeah. Well,
but and we can all agree that for us, as difficult as this situation has been, and I'm knock on wood here, we do not, and we could very easily make a decision that would be gut wrenching and heartbreaking to let go of our animals, and we're not going to do that.
I know.
We've both decided, hell or high water, they are with us. We love them. They should not have been in the situations they were in, the three dogs and the two cats.
Yeah.
And we have a responsibility to them. And we take that responsibility very seriously. And there's a lot of folks that don't. And I get it. I understand that.
I see that a couple of news items here. I was hoping to, you know, I know that maybe Kim Jong-un at some point can call in and tell us about the
Moose
fact that...
Moose Turd News.
Yeah, right. About the cyber power nuke that they seem to be wielding. They somehow lifted from the U.S. and South Korean computers evidence that the U.S., of course, has been planning to assassinate Kim. Can they call it Operation Decapitation?
No.
I
you laughing at someone tried to kill me?
I was. Can I take it back? Is it too late? Or
my doctor say my diet is going to kill me. But I kill him. He dead now.
Very, very funny. Tell me about your cyber weapon. Is this something?
I don't need to tell you about nothing, Mr. K.
Oh, you're just gonna use it on us, huh? I see. Okay.
We use whatever we. You think we throw a missile all the time? Look at your country. In my weather machine.
My weather machine. Very good, Kim.
You all know nothing about my weather machine. It's
got a little hurricane machine there, huh?
It's not so little, is it?
No. I see you sent one to Ireland. Is that what you're doing?
Oh, I never like Irish beer. Strong. Drink it warm. Terrible.
Well, we serve up some something like.
I tried to get you tourists to come to North Korea. Nobody wants to come.
Well, we serve up some Irish after beer here in the Mooster Cafe.
You are so disgusting. Why do you say that?
Same color. It's the same color going in and going out. Come on.
I have a meeting with my programmers. I go now. Bye.
Bye.
North Korea destroy everything.
Apparently.
Oh, man, that guy was.
He's got himself apparently a cyber weapon of some sort. He can figure out some things over there. I was a little bit surprised by that, but I could see that if you're going to build a nuclear weapon, I guess you can get some computers going too. But all right, so there we go. He's found out that we're trying to assassinate him. Used it. You know.
Hey, by the way, everybody, you're listening to the Booster Cafe just past the top of the hour, October 15th, Monday, 7:02 a.m. Everybody.
I like the way this the new leader of Catalonia, they got him in a box, or they think they do, where if he says he's really for independence, they're going to cancel him, you know. And if he doesn't, you know, but he just sits there and keeps making ambiguous statements, right? I sort of think of it as Jim Mattis negotiating the General Electric contract. If you can't, you're never going to get GE to agree to language that you like, so you might as well get language that means nothing or everything. And, you know, I think that's what that guy's doing, actually. You know, that's actually a pretty good move. I mean, you know, let them do it to you, okay? And that's just only going to further inflame the independence feelings. You know, you didn't take an aggressive action. You just said, hey, we want to go. We'll see. We'll see how that works out. I don't know. But we got the same thing occurred to the Kurds.
I question some of the things that these things are being fueled by, and I understand it, but I question the inflammation of it in terms of, you know, when you start to look at the sheer number and volume of manipulation going on by, you know, other powers, whether that be, and I'm not talking about just Russia, or I'm talking about, like, just other powered and money interests influencing people's mindset in terms of, you know, sending, buying, advertising, and pounding them on a consistent basis. When you see the sheer number of people that aren't getting their information from television anymore, not wanting, their news sources are just social media.
Yeah, they're Facebook friends. Yeah.
You know, whether that be Facebook, whether that be Twitter, whether that be Instagram, whatever it is, Google, however you want to say it, Yahoo News, however it is, a lot of folks are being, you know, steered in a direction that probably they shouldn't be.
Well,
in a lot of different ways, but that's part of it. I mean, you have people out there, John, that are organized going to meetings that have been scheduled by foreign people that don't have anything. The only thing they have interest in is stirring the soup.
No, I understand.
Their only interest is bullshitting, just to see if they could do it.
Well, I think there's going to be a lot of it, okay? Because, keep in mind, Spain and, Catalonia was the heart of the Spanish Republic, remember, too. So, southern Spain, Greece, Italy, all those, the southern part of Europe, I mean, they've been, the austerity has just killed them for 15, 20 years now. Yeah. And it's coming apart.
Right. It's not as if that hasn't, the people here should look at that as a little bit of a cautionary tale.
Yeah.
I really think that because you and I talked about this a long time ago, the bodies are going to pile up, and they have.
Right.
And they have. Right. In 10 months, how many dead people whose lives could have been saved by some simple, easy-to-read legislation and or caution.
I don't see how you call Trump on Puerto Rico as anything other than genocidal neglect.
That's exactly what I said online.
I don't see how you call it anything else.
Yeah, now we can now add genocide to your resume.
I mean, it didn't kill everybody, but I mean, if it had, he wouldn't have cared. I mean, that's the thing, drown. Hey, you're all a bunch of brown people. Who cares?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I'll head off to some, fascist convention.
Yeah.
And you don't have to fear, your hatred of homophobia anymore, hatred of queers anymore, because, you can say what you want. I don't care if you're politically incorrect. Imagine.
As Colbert said, marriage is between a man and a woman, and then another woman. And then
right.
And then potentially maybe a fourth, depending upon how things are going.
Yeah, right. Hey, did you hear where Ivana, the first wife, or what? Well, I can't remember. I don't know if she was first or not, but she says she's the real first lady.
Yes.
And I see that I see that melanoma had to put her in her place.
Yes.
self-serving bitch.
Yes, the accents flying back and forth, butchering the English language is a lot of fun to.
I think it's great.
And then there's his ex-wife. Come on, that was funny.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Come on,
oh man.
Anybody out there that got that joke, please tell me. No, maybe.
Well. I think when we get a guy who says, it's okay. By the way, did you know that there's a picture of him while the Pledge of Allegiance is going on? He's scratching his balls.
Yeah.
I mean, and he's,
seeing it right there. Yeah.
He's sitting there and he's calling, there's blame on both sides when you got Nazis running around with a Nazi flag.
I assume some of them are good people.
Yeah, sure.
I assume some of them are good people.
But not any of the athletes that are taking the knee. None of them are good,
Well, and then they got shredded by their owners. Jerry Jones! Because the President Fart Cloud called Jerry Jones of the Dallas Cowboys. How about the Cowboys? To say you should fire any of your players that take a knee.
But have you ever heard of the Nuremberg Laws?
interesting.
This was Hitler's proposal. They became notorious, in which they were promulgated about 1935, and they would be the culmination of the first phase of the Nazi program of exterminating the Jews. Okay,
sure.
Because they, all of a sudden, all these were they were deprived of all their property. They're this, that. And every day, if you complied with all the rules, you'd spend 13 hours a day complying with the rules.
Right, this was the, the Third Reich's plan all along. This was, and when you hear somebody who sits in the White House advocate for removing license for broadcasters, you're in a bad way. You're in a real bad way. when the person does not understand that the people of the United States deserve an opportunity to be provided the information. I mean, you've got an entire, almost an entire Senate and House, particularly on the right, and I'm not going to let go of the folks on the left either, who pretend to be on the left, who are really pretty much, to a certain extent, bought and paid for by corporate interests. Those are their constituents, and they do not. I want people in their districts to understand. They do not give a shit about you or me. They don't. Full stop. We have no argument and nothing to say. And we're being run over.
Yeah, that's true.
By bullshit legislation that allows corporations to continue running over us, not just now, but far into the future.
Oh, yeah.
And if you don't get up off your ass and understand how difficult this is going to be, we're all completely effed.
I think that you've hit the nail on the head there, buddy.
I expect that
we are effed, you know, if you want to know the truth.
That doesn't surprise me, because there's so many other people who I know who feel exactly the same way. I have a younger brother who has a family who he gets up every day and goes to work and works his ass off in the construction business, and his wife works as a surgical nurse. Nursing assistant, and she and he work several hours, and they just got obliterated with some payments that they have to make on their son's teeth and braces.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, one traumatic financial thing like that can bring you down.
Oh, and
now, it's not. I mean, he's in a much better position than a lot of other folks, and he knows that. He understands that. It's just that once you feel as if you've got some level of security to move ahead and make some investments in some other things to secure your future and your children's future, something like that pops up and screws you.
Well, of course it does. Again, you got to start, girding your loins a little bit here. That's one of the reasons why the cafe is here, to help out.
That's right, everybody.
You know, because it's, Moose Turd Cafe is going to be on everybody's plate pretty soon here. It looks like it's coming. I think we're going to have to grab hold of the fact that we have descended into a cavern. From which, you know, getting out, there's no clear path. Okay.
Look, here's a picture of me and John in the work camps. I mean, he thought he retired, but he had to go back to work.
That's right.
We did a selfie.
Yes, the new race law found that he was 1/40th black, and so therefore he can no longer participate in society or something.
And I am 45%. So
you know, and I see the FBI has now decided that Black Lives Matter is a serious terrorist threat. That's some Sessions thing.
Yeah, but not denouncing the reappearance of the Tiki Nazis. Torch Nazis.
No, no, of course not.
The LL being Tiki Torch Nazis in Charlottesville.
Exactly.
Nothing was said about that.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Now, I don't know that there's been anything said, tweeted, or spoke about California.
And you mean about the disaster?
About the wildfires. I don't know that there's been any kind of talk of disaster relief or any kind of effort nationally to put anything together.
He's not going to do it because Brown's a political enemy. He's going to blame Brown for it, you know. Or if he sends them any aid, it'll have a big thing as I love Trump, you know, on all the hoses or something, you know.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, he'll do something like that. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what are you going to say. I mean, but I want to tell you, if he makes California go it alone, okay, which he could do, okay, I mean, out of spite, he probably will do. You know, suppose California goes it alone and makes it. I mean, I want to, you know, then you think that you got a problem with the Kurdish separatist movement. You know, wait till you see what happens in California. You know, you could have some, I mean, because what you know, you give people no alternative but to, you know, basically say, well, to hell with you. Okay. Well, they will. I mean, yeah. Surprise? No, not really. I mean, especially when you give them no choice.
If you're looking at this options on the table, and you're, you know, a pretty enlightened person, and you're trying to make the best choice to move forward for your people,
yeah, what do you do?
That may, in fact, be the only choice.
Yeah, you know.
You're forcing people to do things they really don't want to do.
So,
but they may have to in order to stabilize their existence.
Exactly.
And that's the biggest thing that's lost in all of this.
You're going to destroy the country.
There are minutiae hot button issues that will continue from now until the end of time. And those issues are guns. Those issues are abortion. Those issues will continue to be Social Security, the social safety net, all of those things moving forward. The biggest problem that I can see, that we've talked about on this show before in other iterations when it was a different show, is the fact that corporations do not pay enough money. It's very simple. If you want to oversimplify it, that's exactly where it's at. There are profiteers, capitalists, and profit mongers who could not give a flying shit. Or moose turd. Hey, look, there goes one now.
Yeah, right.
Who could not really care whether people die or not because they're moneyed interests.
Well, you stoop to nibble on a moose poop.
Well, you can always put it on a table.
Yeah, right. No, you're right. I mean, so you have this thing cooking here, and I don't see a way out. And I was talking with some friends of mine, you know, who you know, used to were want to talk about the 30s, you know, a lot about how, well, gee, you know, if the left and center of the labor and whatever it is, liberal movements had pulled together, then they would have outpolled Hitler or for that matter Mussolini, okay, in elections. And I said, yeah, but they didn't, okay. And so they kept talking about, in France, you had a thing called the Popular Front that did come together, but it was after Hitler had taken power. And here's the interesting thing. They were in power in 1938 or 40, elected anyway, okay, by the, and in comes the Germans. They had voted out the right, ultra-right, okay, 2 years before, but in comes the Germans, and they don't even fight.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they basically folded, okay? I mean, and the resistance started up in the underground 2 years later, you know, whatever. I mean, it was took forever. And whereas, you know, Poland, who everybody, you know, laughs at all the time, I mean, actually, when the Germans marched into Poland, they fought. I mean, you know, it took the Germans 2 weeks to take Warsaw, and they had 3 million men.
Right. Hey, listen, I'm going to mute you for a second. Hold on.
Okay.
Just like 30 seconds.
All right. Anyway, so we're listening to the Moose Turd Cafe here on Enlightened Radio at enlightenedradio.org, and we'll podcast this show. Mike and I get up in the morning. We try to sort through all the crappy stuff that's going on here. And,
okay, I'm back.
Hi, Mike. it looks like war clouds are forming again in Iraq as the Kurds, they're trying to, negate the Kurdish independence movement. Of course, the Kurds are one of the main things that helped them out in Syria, so we're going to see. Then they're pretty well armed. They're better organized than, I would say, what's the opposite? There's the Shiites, and what's the other Muslim faction? You know, the Saddam Hussein's faction, you know, the Saudi Arabia.
Bath Party.
No. There's the Shiite.
Oh, the Shiites and
Sunnis. The Sunnis, yeah, okay. But I think the Kurds are pretty well organized. So we're going to see another big blow up there, and we'll see how that lines up. Whether some great power like Russia or whatever, I mean, they're going to be. Turkey is going to want some crushed because they don't want a Kurdish independence movement in Turkey. Okay, but. You know, we'll see what that's cooking up again. I think that's going to go someplace. The Africa situation has blown up. There's Somalia, the biggest terrorist act, I think, in a couple several years. 275 people killed.
Yep. These are all the wonderful things that are going on in the world.
And of course, Kim Jong-un is ready to do his thing, as we heard earlier.
Mm-hmm.
God knows what the Russians and the Chinese are, how they're calculating the shift, and the European countries.
And I don't blame anybody for wanting desperately to practice the art of escapism in terms of your mind and your health. And your
That's
well-being.
Right.
Because
right.
There's a whole lot of news out there, and there's very, very little of it that is any good.
Right. If you show up at the cafe in the morning, however, you know the rest of the day will not seem so bad.
As we pound you and pound you and pound you with these awful headlines that are just, you know, one more horror story, we have yet to talk about the morning respite by our idiot in chief as he's tweeting from his golden toilet. We haven't seen any of those yet. I haven't heard anything about any tweets. Maybe Kelly took the phone. You know.
Yeah, I don't. Well, something. God.
Maybe Kelly and the Secret Service had a plan to.
Wouldn't that be interesting? Now here's that's that'd be interesting. Tweet. For 2 weeks, Trump has not heard from. How about that? Whoa! What would the news organizations do? They'd have to engage in some self-reflection.
Well, there is some really, really wild stuff. I tell you, Ed, there's some wild, wild stuff. Johnny Carson-ish. But there's odd stuff going on with this investigation by Mueller. There's some really...
Yeah.
These are some very, very serious financial...
I hope so. I hope he comes out with it. You know, I do. I see some...
Sure he does too.
You know, I hope something happens that clarifies what the hell...
Well, we have to get a... I think we do at state level or federal level. We have got to get a hold of this voting situation. This cannot continue, and they're going to do it again.
They are.
Whoever they are, whether that be Russian sponsors, whoever is paying who to hack voting records and so on and so forth, this is a real problem. And you know what? Mr. Kovac or whatever the hell your name is, cross-checking got nothing to do with it.
You know, it makes me wonder that whether or not your old theory, which was the, you know, Putin's oil and Exxon's oil and, you know, the energy,
right.
The energy conglomerate, that maybe they are acting in concert at some level just as an industry. And
it seems rather coordinated, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, there's not everything that's happening is pretty much the Exxon agenda, isn't it? I mean, in terms of energy, especially, and everything
sure.
related to the environment. I mean, these guys these companies are among.
Well, now the EPA is now a strong arm of the companies now because
yeah.
of what's his name, Pruitt. Is that his name?
Yeah, right. Or whatever. Yeah, it's.
Well, I mean, look at Ryan Zinke. Look at that asshat who's, you know, you want to talk about flying places, you know, taking expensive flights so he can go on a tour of some bullshit, you know, symposium. It's all crap. And that's another one. That's another one, John. It's another one. You want to talk, these people were so conned. They were so conned. And the sick thing is you knew who these senators of the country, you knew who these sons of bitches were when you went ahead and confirmed them. You knew who they were, and you confirmed them anyway. Now you're talking about, when you start talking about combining cabinet secretaries' money for expenses on these flights, you put all that together, how much money was that wasted where you could take that money and give it to Puerto Rico to try to save some lives? To try to actually reinvest in infrastructure. How much money? The amount has gotten to be absurd, and we're only 11 months in.
I know. I think that...
That's not even to mention the security detail for the orange fart cloud when he goes to play golf. And how much that cost us.
I know. But I got a prediction to make, buddy.
Okay.
This is going to end in war.
Probably.
It's either, there's no way, I mean, the way it's going right now, even with the division.
Are you talking about it's a war so he can distract from everything else that's
It's
going
a war
on?
So he can, yes, because otherwise the Republicans, if it keeps going like it is, they're not going to be electable, and they'll either cancel the, they either got to figure out a way to cancel the elections, or making sure no Democrats can vote, or have a war going where they can use that as excuse to do both, okay? And has I don't think there's any question about it that that's how this thing goes. I mean every fascist thing that's ever happened in history, you know, authoritarian thing, I mean, that after an initial run on hot air, they always head to the military and get everybody involved in choking themselves, and that's what happened. That's what started World War One and World War Two. You know, so I mean, we are not.
The sad part about that is I think it was General McCaffrey former retired General McCaffrey on MSNBC was talking about how overextended a lot of the military is right now. Anyway.
Well, that's true.
We can accommodate, but You're gonna have to concentrate and pull people out of other wars to apply them to a new war, if that's what you're talking about.
They're gonna figure out one. They're gonna figure out a big one to get involved in that they think that the general's convincing he can win. That's all, or not lose. I don't think he cares. There's nothing to be won in war. So, you know, but the risks are huge. Everybody, I think that's what everybody around the world knows. I mean, I think, for example, the thing with Iran. Though it's mostly talk, okay, I'm not going to certify.
Don't want to get involved in that. I'm telling you right now, you do not want to get involved in that.
You know, but he keeps doing it, right? And he's looking, wants to get involved in a war, because otherwise his numbers, this thing isn't going to work. What he's doing right now is for getting elected. It's a hit. This is a total Hitler equation. I mean, even though he's not Hitler, but I mean, it's the same equation, and or similar. It's a similar equation. And,
the parallels can certainly be drawn. You know,
I don't see how he can.
The sick thing is about that, John, is there are people who are okay with that.
Oh, I understand that, but that ain't a majority. Okay, that's why.
No, it's not.
That's not a majority.
No, it's not, but still, you know, it's frighteningly awful. And when you see people cheering because we're cutting all of these departments and some of these career civil servants who really aren't, their interest was their job.
Sure.
Interest is their job, to go to work each day and do the best job they can do, because they certainly understand that their paycheck comes from
the taxpayers. They know it comes from the taxpayers, yes. Most of them do.
Most of the majority of the people that I know that work those jobs that I worked with were very, very responsible, hardworking people. There were a few that, you know, the American people could have done without, but there was, you know, it is an easy joke to tell, to talk about how lazy the government worker is. And I think that's been a narrative that you need to be careful with. There's some subtlety to that continues to pound in our media,
right.
Whether it be on television, movies, or on social media. And you really do have some career-minded folks that have busted their ass for years that are there's a lot of unsung heroes in there that have been able to do some things that other folks would not be able to do, that have a specific expertise in one form or another, whether that be being the ability to communicate in multiple languages, to understand the subtlety and nuance of another country, to understand exactly where their priorities lie and how we can line those priorities up, whether that be trade, whether that be labor, whether that be whatever, human rights. And all of those people, to a person, are pretty much gone now.
Yes,
this is what you wanted. This is what you wanted. This is your Kansas libertarian wet dream. And even the Republicans had to go against Brownback and increase taxes.
Well, it's going to be a titanic struggle, I think. I think that people should prepare that you're going to have to defend this democracy if you want it, possibly with your lives. And because that's going to come down to that. There's nothing. Nothing's going to stop these. The billionaire crunch is not going to stop. You know, and Trump's a reflection of it. Probably not the one that they would have preferred. You know, in some ways to be at the front of it. But you know, it's a natural outgrowth of. There's nothing that he's talking about that hasn't been talked by the Republicans for 15 years. Okay, nothing.
John.
Oh, Bernie. Thank you for calling in. Yes, we need your guidance here, pal.
I know there's not a whole lot of time left. Show. But I also would say there's not a whole lot of time left in America.
Oh my God.
The America that we know and understand. The America that is compassionate, that we have health care as a right, as a human right. We have to move forward. Regardless of Trump. Regardless of the Republicans, regardless of the Democrats, I began 5 years ago a revolution. And that revolution will not stop.
All right, buddy. Thank you, Senator Sanders.
He's gone.
Well, listen, that's pretty good. I'm glad that Senator Sanders could join us this morning. And, unfortunately, Mike, I think we've only skimmed the surface of the fetid thing that is encroaching upon our little toes.
Hey, by the way, everybody, just passed, coming up on the bottom of the hour, 7:30 a.m. on Monday, October 15th, here at the Moose Turd Cafe, and your original Dusty Footed philosopher and host, Mr. John Case, on the air, with his sometimes sidekick through the phone system.
You never would know.
Mr. Black something. Oh, by the way, I wanted to say something really quickly.
Go ahead.
Ken.
Good, please.
It might be self-serving, but I want to congratulate my good friend, Michael Aronin, and his buddy, Christopher Titus, for having a movie you can download it on iTunes, called Special Unit. I congratulate them on their success, and I'm looking forward to seeing the film.
All right. Well, listen, by the way, coming up on the poetry show, they were going to have some chills and thrills. We're going to have some scary poetry. Scary poetry. It's going to be
they did the mash.
And
they did the poetry mash. They did the mash.
Yes, the poetry mash. That's what's going to happen. So if you're looking for a little pre-Halloween rhymes, okay, just hang on there. We'll get started in about 5 or 10 minutes here, and we'll be podcasting at the Moose Turd Cafe. I may be closed today. I'll probably play up. I might as well play, one of our theme stories here, which would be, Utah cool. Phillips and the Moose Turd Pie. You know, one of
excellent,
our
sir.
And
thank
we'll
you,
do
sir.
That. All right, buddy. Talk
day.
To you soon, man. All right. Take care, man.
Bye, everybody.
Rough. Bye-bye. All right. So we'll do... We're gonna get the moose going here as we close out this program here today. Moose. Here we go. Moose Turd Pie. Here we go. Okay. Da-da-da-da-da-da.
Rural electrification in the Navajo Indian
River. There we go.
Running electric power lines into all the Navajo outhouses. Was one of the first people to wire ahead for a reservation. Finally, I'll tell you about the worst job I ever had in my life. Worst job I ever had in my life was working it was the Santa Fe Railroad south of Las Vegas, Nevada. Yeah, that's the old Mormon Muddy Mission, you see. It's way out in what the Navajos call the boonies. Out in the desert. Now, the job was Gandhi dancing. Now, Gandhi dancing used to be in the old days. Gandhi dancing was when the Irish were building the railroad. Of course, the first transcontinental railroad was built by Irish laborers. And they used these long-handled shovels called Irish banjos that were made by the Gandy Shovel Company of Chicago. Now, the Irish laborer would take the wide end of the shovel when he could find it, and he would jam it in under a rail or a tie, and he would climb out on the long handle, do a little jig step out there, and that would lever the tie up or the rail up, and you push gravel in underneath it and tamp it down, and that levels the roadbed. See, that's what Gandy dancing is. Leveling the roadbed so the damn train doesn't fall off as it goes by, which is just a big drag for everybody. Now, they don't do Gandy dancing the normal way anymore, see. Like they did in the old days. Nowadays, they run three cars out on the line. They run a box car out there that's a bunk car. You sleep in it. Got bunks in there 18 inches apart. And then you got a tool car with your tamping irons and your tongs and your double jack hammers and spikes and all of that equipment, see, to do the job. And then you got a cook car. I mean, there's no restaurants anyplace around, so you got a cook car. Pots and pans and a coal or wood-burning stove and a long table down the middle to eat at. Only thing they don't hire is a cook. That's because they're cheap. Saves them money. The rule is that in that crew, they're supposed to pick among their own members who's going to be the cook. Now, they don't try to do it sensibly, like draw lots or decide who the best cook is. What they do is they wait and find out who bitches and whines and pisses and moans the most about the cooking. And they say, all right, wise guy, you think you can do better, you get to be the cook. Well, that was me, see. Old alligator mouth. The new man on the crew, and that was the worst food I'd ever had. I mean, it was dog bottom pie and pheasant sweat. Otter water comes out of an otter. It's a terrible, terrible stuff. Some people might think it's a delicacy, but I thought it was garp. So I complained, and they said, all right, wise guy, you get to be the cook. That made me mad, because I didn't want to cook. But I knew if anybody complained about my cooking, that they were going to have to cook. Armed with that knowledge, I sallied forth over the muddy river. I was walking around among the cheat grass and bunch grass there, and I looked down, and there was just a hell of a big moose turd. Biggest damn moose turd, that was a real steamer, damn. I looked down at that meadow wafer, and I said to myself, self, I'm gonna bake up a big moose turd pie. Cause if anybody complains about my cooking, they're gonna have to cook. So I tipped that pasture pastry up on edge. I got my shit together, so to speak. And I started rolling it down toward the old cook car. Bloom, bloom. I got it down there and leaned it up against the side, and I climbed up in the cook car and I baked up a hell of a big pie shell. And I baked that moose turd in it as slick as you please. And I crimped the edges with my thumbs and laid strips of dough across it and garnished it with a sprig of parsley, a little paprika. It was beautiful. Poetry on a plate. And I served it for dessert, waiting for the first hint of a complaint. Well, this giant dude come in, about 5'40". I mean, he was big. Throwed himself down like a fool on the stool. Picked up his fork. Took a big bite of that moose turd pie. Well, he threw down his fork, and he let out a beller, and he yelled, "My God, that's moose turd pie!" It's good, though.